Nacio, can you hear me? Oh, we got a little difficulty here. Okay, we got it now. Nacio.
Good tennis, man.
Yes, I had every button but the right one pushed on. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and, you know, Binghamton Massive, we have Nacio Fontaine on the line. And, Nacio, can you hear in the background?
Yeah.
I'm playing something there.
Yeah, first we say greetings to the people and blessed love in the name of His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie God. Yeah, Rastafari, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, Nacio, can you let the people know your beginnings and how you evolved to the point where you are today?
Yeah, well, we begin. We starting at the ghetto, born and raised at the ghetto. And we grow as babies, as everyone else, through suffering and hardships from loving parents and very close-tied family. And from there, we just grew in the eyes of the Most High, how the Most High wish us and envisioned us to grow. And from there on, we just develop the physical talent.
Now, can you tell the listening audience where you are from? Where you come from?
Yes, I was born on the island of Dominica. Not the Dominican Republic. It's between Martinique to the south and Guadeloupe to the north. I was born on the southeastern coast, you know, in a little village called Bagatelle. And you know, 24 miles away from the capital, Roseau. And we're just proud to know that we come from the country area where people cook on three rocks, and we have to cut wood from the forest, and we have to plant the food that we must eat, and we must go for the water in the spring. And life is the most natural thing that you can ever want to live through, you know. So it's been Rasta from ever since, you know.
Yes, sir. And I hear that Dominica is one of the islands that a lot of people don't realize. It's a very beautiful island, and it still has some rainforest there.
Yeah, man, we have an unspoiled island because through it is so mountainous. We have 365 rivers. Every one of them flow right to the sea, and every one of them is drinkable, you know. And we have the world's second largest boiling lake. And it's basically unspoiled because it is so mountainous that it cannot be conquered. It's an island that has never been conquered, even through slavery. When slaves would run out to the mountains, these colonial people would refuse to go because it's so mountainous that it's too rough. You know, it's too rough for the Europeans to really go through. So, you know, God bless Dominica, man. You know?
Yes, sir. And so the original inhabitants of Dominica were who? Can you enlighten the listening audience?
Yeah, first we must say the indigenous people of Dominica is the Carib Indians, you know?
Yes, sir.
And therefore, the rightful name of Dominica, Christopher Columbus called Dominica. But
uh-huh.
Dominica's name is Whitey Kubuli, meaning that she's tall in stature, you know, because of all the mountains. But, you know, when these European oppressors came, they just trashed everything and make us forget our names and gave us new names. So, it's Whitey Kubuli, and my mom is a Carib Indian, you know.
Ah, so there's a mix. So your father, what about your father?
My father is African.
Yes, sir.
You know, brought to the Caribbean to slavery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I want to mention to you that I happened to read, I just bought this book over the weekend, and I happened to read in the book by Chuck Foster, who writes for The Beat, and he describes you as Native American, and which we know that we call people Native American, but he, you know, it seemed like the way he worded it was exclusively, that he you know, he left out, you know, when he named other Native Americans and up here, up north, he named them, he put your name in there, and I was kind of puzzled that I don't think you perceive yourself that way. Your mother's that way, but it's the part of your father being, I would like to know, how do you describe yourself?
Yeah, well, I and I is a rainbow child, you know? I and I is a rainbow child. I and I come from, well, I look a lot like my mom, so when you look at me, you could see
the Indian,
the Caribbean,
yes,
right,
yes,
through,
yes.
You know, with my cheekbones and my straight hair and stuff. But I and I is a rainbow child because we come from a black man and a Carib Indian mother. So there is no one who can discriminate against I and I because I and I have all color inside of me.
Can I say this to you, and I don't know if you knew this, but 30 to 50% of African Americans have Native American blood, myself included, brother. Cherokee Indian, my mother was from South Carolina. And that's the history that they don't teach in the schools, you know.
You see, there is always lines to divide because when you look at the Indian and you look at the black man, it's one man, it's the same man.
Seriously.
Because American history teaches you that when the slaves would escape from the plantations, they would run up to the mountains and the Indian would welcome them and accept them. So that's why you have the black Indian, the red Indian, the brown Indian, and it is one man.
Yes, sir.
But there is always a stunt to divide and rule to conquer, and sometimes we fall prey to it. But the Indian and the black man is one man.
Well, this song you was just playing, Rainbow Generation, you know, expresses that. And now I want to ask you, where did you first get inspired to sing, bring the messages of Jah? You know, where were you, and who were the first people that you listened to and, you know, inspired you, you know, besides the Most High, the people that you heard, you know, who were they, Nacio?
Personally, I think that I get inspired long before that I know that I was inspired.
Ah.
You know, because
yes, sir,
as a child growing up, you know, I would sing so much in the house, sometimes I would get bit to shut my mouth, you know. Yeah, you know what I mean? I would sing at the table, I would sing in the kitchen, I would sing, I would bang on plates and spoons and forks and knives. I would sing so much in school, you know, I would have to be sedated. I would always be singing. You know, I would sing to the rivers looking for water with my bucket. I would sing going to the forest. I would sing at all times.
Uh-huh.
And For my child, me really believe, me did feel like inside of me there is something that the world need to hear, you know. Like, I feel like in one way or another I was a voice that must be heard, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I think the things more I wanted to bring across was the suffering and the oppression of people of all class, creed and color of people all over the world, in the four corners of the earth. I really feel more would have to deal with a medium vehicle, which is music,
mm-hmm,
to really express the opinions and the crying voices of people of the earth. And when Rasta reveals itself to I and I, then I and I really come to the conclusion and understand that music will be what we must go through. And to hear it is today that we're expressing our point of view, you know, telling the political leaders what we don't like, and just plain and simple telling the oppressor man, it's not going to be that way because people power is the only power, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you must have listened to radio, though, or did they have radio where you were?
Yeah, well, when we grew up, the radio was a really steep thing to have because you have to understand my mother and father is unemployed and we live in 24 miles. We're out in the country. We're the last house next to the forest. And I remember one time growing up as a youth, about 8 or 9, that my father managed to save all his life saving just to buy one little 1 foot long Philips radio. And through that, we would listen to some music, but we would hear more Marvin Gaye and Curtis Mayfield and Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and Jim Reeves and these people.
Yes, sir.
And so this type of music more kind of introduced to me from an early age, but then we started hear some Caribbean calypso.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Calypso in Caribbean music was the first influence. So then later down we start get more open and start grow like 15 and 16 and 17, and we start hearing more music coming from different parts of the Caribbean, and we hear one guy named Bob Marley.
Yes, sir.
And we hear one guy called Peter Tosh.
Yes, sir.
We start hear Jacob Miller and Bono Wheeler, and these people really kind of touch my inner feelings and my subconsciousness, because these guys were saying things that no one never dare to say, you know, which is everyone always look towards the West and talk about great things of the West, But these guys came talking about the East, you know. Guys talking about Africa and liberation and all the atrocities that was and that has been done to I and I people. Slavery and the wool work. Things that people swept under the carpet. So it kind of really interested me. So, you know, from there, it kind of opened my eyes and I said to myself, this is where we're going to really look into, you know.
Well, you know, I know that a lot of people don't know in this country that the oppression that Rastaman and dreadlocks get in the Caribbean and the different islands that they got, and specifically Dominica, you could be shot on sight. Now you can express that. Can you tell how rough it was just to, and how did it affect family? And you know, well, can you run that down to me?
Yo, man, you know, Rasta has always been the voice, you know.
Uh-huh.
Rasta has been the prime. Like I say, we've been a subject to Master's whip, you know.
Yes, sir.
Any time in the Caribbean during that time, anything Dominica during that time when them kill, I used to be a youth going to school, and any time you see your Rasta, that is it. You must get beat. You must get shot. As a matter of fact, Dominica is the only place in the world to really have what they call a dread act. A dread act passed by the government to shoot Rastafarians on sight. You know, for instance, if they would see you 200 yards away or 10 feet away and them want to shoot you, them stop you, stop, and them they'll shoot you.
Man.
And then it would come to a point when Rastas left the town and go dwell up in the mountains, establish their homes and families, and they would put soldiers, the army would go up to the mountains, the police, and shoot down Rasta. And shoot them down in great numbers too, because their mothers and fathers who would think that their kids are in St. Thomas or different islands in the Caribbean, and these guys were killed, you know, and the whole island stood aside, and society and the whole corporate world stood aside and supported that Rasta's been killed, you know. So it's like, I'm telling people right now, from you say Rasta, you're a man who will expose lies, and you will expose all these little things that politicians and society want to hide. So you become a major threat, you know, because you refuse to live the life that government and society has prepared for you. You want to live the life that you know is right in the eyes of the Most High. And number one, you grab onto all your African doctrine and all your African culture. So it's basically contradicting to them. You know, and when them say the truth, they don't want to look upon the eyes of the truth, because the truth make them feel guilty.
Yes, sir.
So that is why I and I come right Black Tuesday, because I was in school when I would hear today, my mother would tell me no one is allowed to go up to the mountains to garden, to make garden and to cultivate, because wow, police and soldiers will be shooting all dreadlocks and rasters today. And many, many youths lose their lives. And even right here in America, I have brethren who, anyone who want to meet them can meet them, because they have bullets in their bodies all now. So I know guys who are paralyzed by bullets, being shot by police without never, ever even being around where they could ever cause no disturbances. Up in the mountains, they were shot, some of them were shot sleeping, you know.
Wow.
So just because you choose to be a Rastaman, you get shot for that. So we want to let the world know that all atrocities that is committed against any type of people is not going to just go and slip by and be driven on the carpet. Rasta is here to reveal the things that are hidden, you know.
Okay, now can I ask you, what was the first, when did you first record, and you know, how long have you been, you know, we like that word, you know, but I know from that time to this time, but around what year was the first, because I know you have, this is the third album, right?
Yeah, well, basically, this is my fifth recording.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
well, we gotta bring some more. You gotta send some more of this music to me, brother, because you know, the I thought the one you gave me, the tape, I thought that was the first one, man.
Yeah, well, 1986.
Okay.
I went to the studio. I'm record a song called Born to be Free. Born to be Free is a song. At the time, apartheid was on fire, and all the world stood by and see Africans been massacred by a white system in South Africa. They come in and claim the people's land and made the people slaves, and America and the whole world stand by and let that happen, you know. But Born to Be Free was a protest against apartheid, you know, because it was taken from the Human Rights of Declaration.
Yes, sir.
And then from there we went and we collect all the money and work in supermarkets and struggle to find more money if we do another recording. That time we went, we do it in 1992. You know.
And that's Reggae Power?
No, Born to Be Free, I'm sorry, in 1986. Then I recorded Babylon's a Falling in 1990.
Ah.
Babylon's a Falling is a EP of six songs, you know.
Okay.
So through me so poor and don't have enough money, so I record six songs, you know.
Right, right.
And Babylon's a Falling is taken out of Revelation, revealing of Babylon the shit stem is stumbling because it's just pure oppression of mankind. And regardless if you're black or if you're white or Indian or you're yellow or Chinese, whatever, the system is there to oppress and to subdue people. So I just take it from a biblical point of view, show the people where Babylon system comes stumbling, you know. And from there, it took us till 1992. We went to Jamaica and record Reggae Power. And Reggae Power, then it was released in the U.S. in 95, 96. And then while in the U.S., we released a single called Wolf Kiata.
Right.
You know? So that makes it fourth recording.
Well, I'm going to tell you, is there somebody that, excuse me, but, oh, go ahead, Nasa, continue. I'll ask you the question after you.
Yeah, and then very shortly, you know, so right now we have Revolution that was released about 2 weeks ago.
And that's what we're listening to
now. That is what we're listening to right now.
Well, I want to let you know that the first person that ever let me know about Nacio Fontaine, matter of fact, I went to his house and I saw a picture on the wall. And I said, wow, that's an interesting looking brother there. And who is that? So he said, oh, that's Nacio. And so he gave me he gave me a tape that was like, I couldn't hardly hear it.
Yeah.
But that was Brother Mozai.
Yeah, man.
Rastafari
living, man.
Yes, sir. And you know, it just keeps spreading and spreading and on and on. And we got works to do, Nacio. The eye in the eye. We have works to do, man.
Yeah, we just want to tell the whole world that every man under the sun have a work to do. Every woman, every child, everyone has a work to do, because Jah never create you and bring you forth just to have fun, you know.
Seriously.
Everyone have a purpose in this life, and there is a reason for everyone to be alive, you know. So my works being that it is taking music out to the people and letting the people know what is really happening through the medium of reggae music, you know. So I just want to do that and just want to work with the people, for the people, by the people, you know.
And can we look for Nacio to be coming out and letting the people see these works perform live?
Yeah, well, the people will see us place by place, city by city, state by state, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes,
time,
sir.
Time by time, day by day, month by month. And but we will be able to be coming out soon, playing for the people. And to the listeners out there, whenever you hear Nacio is playing and you're able to come through and just get some of the blessings, you know, it's all conscious lyrics, positive vibration to uplift people in the world and make it a better place for I and I to live, you know.
Well, I want to give you a lot of respect, brother, and the messages that you have, given to the people here, and I appreciate love the whole of it, man, and the CD, Amaka.
Yo,
yes, sir.
Rastafari, you know.
Every time, Nacio. You know?
Well, we just appreciate love that we can be here through Rastas, you know.
Yes, sir.
And with the technology of radio, that the people in Radio Land can listen to us, and I'm very proud to be here amongst the people, be able to talk to the people, you know, directly. And to all the people, man, who listening right now, you know, the only solution is love God and live. You know, we must be able to love the Creator. To all the atheists and all the heathen, man, there is no reason not to believe and not to know and understand, you know.
Yes,
because
sir.
We must love one another. We must get together. You know, we must be able to find a solution that is not coming from the bombs and the guns. and the revolution must come from the goodness of reggae music, you know?
Yes, sir.
So people can be educated and be comforted and really get to understand more about the foundations of life, which is Rastafari, than depending upon the shit stem that oppress and subdue people. You know?
Yes, sir.
Free your mind. Be revolutionized.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Appreciate, love it, brother.
Yeah.
We hate the wicked and evil stuff. And one last thing to the youth out there. You know, the young ones that's very impressionable, and you know, and they can go this way or that way. You know, they ain't settled yet. Can you?
Yeah. See? Well, the youth. Greetings to the youth. Yeah. Well, the youth must find them way, because I was a youth also, and I was taught by the Catholic Church. You know. I was taught all devilish things, you know. But now the youth, them now, they're more advanced in their minds, and them looking for wisdom and them seeking for wisdom. But
yes,
me personally,
sir,
right now, would tell the youth, them, try seek the face of God, try seek the face of the Almighty, because in that way you will find truth, and you will find justice, you will find love, you will find more vibe toward humanity, and not only yourself, but you'll be able to live in your community at peace, and you'll be able to live with everyone at peace, you know, because I know that the whole system, the teachings of the system, has been lying to the youths. And now when the youths them grow and them grab onto guns and drugs, everybody has a place to put them, which them call prison. But the youths them has been lied to. So right now the youths are seeking. Every youth must find his identity. Every youth must find where him come from, where him is right now, and where he's going to. In that way, everyone will be clear-headed.
Well, me love them messages, and you're going to get a copy of this tape, brother. And I want to thank you again. And stay on the line, Nacio, because we're going to let the people hear this music a little louder. But stay on the line.
Yeah, man.
All right, my brother. One love.
Well, to all the people, peace, love, and harmony, one world, you know? Yeah. Rastafari live it, man.
Every time.